So thank you very much. My talk is on the, it's very lengthy title, like highly conserved CD4 T-cell hemagglutinin epitopes of seasonal flu and swine flu viruses and their role on the, in the dynamics of, in the infection dynamics. So in brief, the research question is that whether seasonal flu exposed population could have any acquired in the cross protection towards the swine flu. That is the question here. So let us see the brief introduction about the influenza A viruses and further my talk about the outline of my talk also here. So influenza A viruses are subtyped based on the surface glycoproteins, which are hemagglutinin and the neuraminidase. So here you can see the different kinds of hemagglutinin and neuraminidase proteins. Nearly 16 different kinds of hemagglutinin and 9 different kinds of neuraminidase proteins can be identified here. And also based on this, you can be able to see the different kinds of patterns here, like H1N1, H1N2, different kinds of subtypes can be identified here. Mostly all the subtypes are identified in the birds, because birds are the reservoirs for the influenza A viruses. So the A stands for avians. So it's called avian influenza here. But whereas in the human population, you can see only H1 and H2 and H3. Since 100 years of history, we can find that H1 and H2 and H3 are can able to infect the human population. So let us see the evolutionary mechanism. What are the mechanisms behind this diversity and patterns of this kind of different patterns here? There are two main mechanisms. One is antigenic drift and antigenic shift. I'm going to talk about more in detail in my next slide. And when you come to the fourth one, the seasonal flu subtypes are continuously evolving and since 30 years, and most of the population could have been persistently exposed to them. Because why I mentioned this point is like, my talk is completely around the memory of, around the cross-reactivity and how it would provide us from the protection from the novel strains. So I'm going to talk about more about in the next slides. And in the next point, swine flu is the, which is the first pandemic in the 21st century. And the unique quality here is that even though it is a novel strain, it was identified as a milder in the clinical context. I'm going to talk about more in the immunological perspective. Okay, let us see the first evolutionary mechanisms, how they involved in the process of influenza evolution. So when you come to the antigenic drift here, how they are interacting with the even immune responses also. So when you come to the antigenic drift, which is a kind of a continuous process, and it is because of this antigenic drift, you can see the continuous mutations on the surface proteins of HA, that is hemagglutinin and the neuraminidase. And with the help of this drift, the virus can be able to mutate continuously, and they can escape from the human immune system. Suppose, for example, an individual infected with a particular influenza A virus, okay, which is a wilder one. So after some time, after antigenic drift, you can see the mutated one. So the particular individual can be able to can get the infection with the mutated one. That means they can be able to escape from the antibody protection. I'm going to talk about more about on that. Due to this antigenic drift, you can see the sporadic outbreak. So that is more related to the seasonal influenza. And when you come to the shift is very important here, and you can see the which is a very slower process, and you can see due to this shift, you can see the novel strains. So mostly all the pandemics can be due to this particular antigenic shift. And also pre-existing antibodies do not protect. That means here recently in the swine flu, there are some papers published on the seroprevalence studies. They found not much considerable protection from the novel strain from our antibodies response. So you can see that because this is completely a novel strain and novel to the human beings. So when you see the 2009, when you see the 2009 genome here, so here you can see the viral particle here, and it made up with 8 different segments, or RNA segments. And these black nodes are the hemagglutinin, and this is the neuraminidase. These two are the surface proteins, and which are highly under selection pressure, so that you can see the more mutations on that. So thereby the virus can be able to enter into the human host, and then you can see the infection process here. So I'll talk about more on that. So when you see the genome of the 2009, you can see the sources from avian source, human source, and swine source. Because what happens here, when you see the ecological cycle here, normally influenza A viruses from the migratory birds. So they are, migratory birds are the reservoirs. They migrate from the north to south, and they spread. And even from these migratory birds, the virus can able to infect the domestic water birds, and from the poultry and to the humans also. But whereas here, pig plays a major role as a mixing vessel here, because pig on the epithelial cells of the pig, it has two kinds of receptors, like avian specific receptors and host specific receptors. So based on that receptor only, in the human we find only 3 different subtypes only, like H1, H2, H3, whereas in the avian you can find all different kinds of subtypes. So that specificity based on the HA molecule, So based on the HA molecule only. So this pig provides a favorable climate for the different subtypes of influenza, where they can be able to exchange their genome information. Thereby you can get the novel strain. That's what happened in this here. So that you can see the swine introduction here to the human population. This is a novel strain, completely novel. So that you can expect most of the human population are susceptible for this particular strain. So let us see how immunological memory piled up during the influenza infection. So why I'm mentioning here is that my topic is completely resolving, like to see the already exposed population with the seasonal flu, how far they gain the memory from the previous exposures towards the swine flu. That's my question. So that I'm going to talk about little bit about memory. When you see the two graphs here, the first graph is acute infection. In the first time infection, what will happen normally? When you see the immunological perspective also here, after the introduction of the infection, immediately you can see the response of innate response, and the place of macrophages and the dendritic cells, they provide the information to the adaptive by processing the antigen into the processed peptides. Thereby you can see the responses of the adaptive. So from that adaptive you can see the effector functions and also memory also. So that once any person gets the infection, he is going to have some memory to the particular pathogen, okay, in the acute, so that you can see the homeostasis level again. Whereas when you come to the persistent infections, so why I'm stressing this persistence here, we have nearly 30 years of history with the seasonal flu, and they are continuously under the selection pressure, and they are continuously providing some outbreaks. So here you can see the difference between these two graphs is just the memory. You can see the maintained and increased memory due to the persistent infection. So that we can expect something here. The human population could have some acquired immunity from the seasonal flu strains like H3N2 and H1N1. Okay, let's see. Yep. It's not recurrent, not persistent means it's kind of recurrent. Suppose I have a one time and the next year I have like that,
Okay,
but it's cleared, that's what. And when you come to the swine flu, the unique feature is here milder. Why it is milder? Because it is highly novel, and also the serological studies are supporting that we don't have any antibody protection, but still we didn't get so many cases and not much severity observed here. So why? Because let us see the immune responses and adaptive responses, how they're helpful to the humankind here. Suppose when you say these three are the epithelial cells here, when they infect the healthy cell, they will become infected, and you can see the particles are viral particles can be cleared by the antibody responses here. Based on the studies, we do not have any antibody production. That means that depends on the antigenic compatibility between the two different strains. That means when you go back to the seasonal flu, we have H3N2 and H1N1. And when you see the seasonal, the swine flu is completely a different strain. That means we should not expect any antibody response here because these two are completely novel strains. So what's next? Yeah. So we don't have protective immunity. That means here antibody, the response of antibody is very important in the influenza because they are going to clear the viral particles. Thereby, there is no spread of that. So we don't have this particular protective immunity from the antibody response. So why still it is becoming milder? So we can expect severity here. But so let's see the other arm of the T cells, how they help in this process. So what happens here, the innate immunity, these viral particles will be engulfed by the antigen presenting cells like macrophages, dendritic cells, and they process and they present in the context of MHC2 to the CD4 T helper cells. Thereby, T helper cell will again differentiate and activate the TH2 and TH1. Here, TH2 helps the B cells, but we do not have any memory here, so we don't have any protection from the antibody here. Whereas, in the TH1, again, it activates the CTLs, and you can see the effector CTLs here. They can clear the infected cells. So thereby, you can stop the spreading of the virus from the one epithelial cell to another epithelial cell. So that means you can stop the propagation of the virus and also the spreading of the virus. So this is a very important factor, and also this directly affects on the severity, so that you can see the correlation between the effect of the severity and the why it is a milder nature, because there is no spreading, because CTLs are effector CTLs are going to kill the infected cells, thereby stopping the spreading. So let's see again here, antibody and also the unique features between the B cells and T cells are completely different here. Why B cells are still failuring to see the novel strains? Because antibody can able to see only whole virus, but whereas T cells, they can only see the processed antigens. That means here, if you have a protein like that, so it is going to be fragmented like that, and these APCs are going to present to that, to the T helper cells. That means the probability of having memory is very high in the context of T helper cells. So that you can, so that if you think about, okay, seasonal, in the seasonal flu, we have two different subtypes, H1N1 and H2N2. H1N1 is also the same family of the swine influenza H1N1, so that we could expect there could be some conservancy between the proteins. That particular proteins could able to provide some immune protection, maybe might be playing a major role here to become CTLs, effector CTLs, and then you can see the milder nature of this. So for this, the entire study we selected hemagglutinin because hemagglutinin helps the virus to enter into the host. So if you have any antibody protection, antibodies are going to clear. They are not going to attach with this one, so that you don't see any entry of the virus into the host. Whereas we don't have any antibody production, that means the virus is happily enters into the body. But whereas we have a T cell production, I'll talk about more on that later. So why we have selected hemagglutinin is that this helps virus to enter into the host system. And this is the particular protein that determines the subtype normally, like HA and NA. Based on that, we can identify like H1N1 or H3N2, this is one, and also we can see the novelty of that based on the antibody responses, antibody titers. We can able to see the how far they are novel, and the host specificity also. As I told you before, like in the pig, they have the two different kinds of specificity. So based on the specificity also, they can able to particularly they can infect the particular hosts, and transmission efficacy and immunity. These all different factors are based on the hemagglutinin. So any changes on the hemagglutinin, they can influence these all the factors. And here you can see the hemagglutinin structure here, the HA1 region and HA2 region. HA1 region is the major target of neutralizing antibodies. So if any mutations occur on this particular HA1 region, this could hamper the host immune responses. So that's what happened in the novel strains. So that it's completely under immunological pressure to accumulate the mutation. So that's the reason the virus is continuously, by using the antigenic drift mechanism, it is continuously mutating itself to invade the host population. So, but whereas when you come to the HA2 is here, which is buried under the HA1. So that means it is not exposed towards the antibody. So that you can see the more conservancy and helps them and helps in the membrane mechanisms. So that means here the point highlighted here is that HA2 is highly conserved. And also from the old from the previous studies also they mentioned that they found the strong CD4 T cell responses when they used this HA2 peptides. And also moreover, 91% of conservancy and similarity found between the seasonal H1N1 and the swine H1N1. Okay, let us again recap what are the unique characteristics of this particular H1N1 is like lack of considerable antibody protection, and however, novel strain has shown the milder severity, I have already told about that, and cellular level immunity acquired from the existing circulating seasonal flu strains could provide any cross protection in this context, and almost all the age groups are persistently exposed to the seasonal flu strains since 30 years. So in this work we assumed that, so since we have a 30 years of history with the seasonal flu strains, and most of the population could have the exposure towards the particular both of the strains. So for that, what I did here is that we downloaded the sequence from the NCBI from the seasonal H1N1 and H3N2 and H and novel strain, and sequence analysis was done and the immunoinformatics analysis was done to find out the CD4 peptides here. And once we find the CD4 peptides in the particular regions and positions, we compared them and we compared based on these groups like seasonal H1N1 and novel strain, seasonal between the H3 and novel strains here, so that strong, similar, and conserved binders were identified based on these groups, and also we cannot to quantify the cross reactivity or immunity is very difficult. So that by using these conserved epitopes, we came out with a very simple formula. We came out with that there could be a possibility that the 52% of cross reactivity based on the conserved epitopes, like you can see here. The conserved strong binders of both strains with the total common binders of the both strains. So we can come up to with a small number so that we can use this in the model. So when you see these figures will tell you clearly the x-axis is like novel H1N1 in the US and also seasonal H1N1 from the 1977 onwards 2009 here, and also the each line here corresponds to the peptides, all the peptides like conserved peptides. So when you see the conservancy and similarity between these two different like novel and seasonal H1N1, you can see the almost 80 to 100% of conservancy, so that you can say they're more closer and conserved, and also evolutionarily they're conserved. See here from the 1977 onwards the particular regions are highly conserved. And when you come to the B1 novel strain and H3N2, you can see the more disparity here. So you don't see like it's like 30 to 66% of similarity here. So you don't expect much conservancy here. So mutations happened in that because H3N2 is completely a different subtype, whereas H1N1 is coming under the same family. So here also you can see in between the seasonal H1N1 and H3N2 also you can see the difference here. So that from this graph, so you can able to say here, seasonal H1N1 and novel H1N1 are close and they are more related and they have conserved. And so that means from this graph also telling you that we could have some production from these particular epitopes. That's what we can say from this. So these are all the epitopes at the particular position on the hemagglutinin, and also you can see all are highly conserved, 100% conserved across the seasonal and the novel H1N1. And when you see, this is the protein for the hemagglutinin protein. So it's a 543 length of this, and these the selected ones are like all are conserved regions on the protein here. So from the results of bioinformatics, we identified nearly 25 common and strong MHC epitopes, and 85 to 100% similarity observed, and 35 to 66% similarity observed between the H3 and H1, and the quantified 52%. So cellular level T cell memory might be a reason for the mild severity of novel strain. So based on this, we came up with the idea, like we developed a stochastic model, which is still we are developing this. It's just primitive one I'm just presenting here. So we thought of that the total population based on the dominance of the particular strain. Suppose when you take the H3N2 and H1N1, here of the both seasonal flu strains H3 and H1, H3N2 has been the dominant 80% circulating strain based on the past 32 seasons, and whereas the H1N1 is only 20%. So we assumed that the total population, maybe 80% of population recovered from the H3N2 and 20% are from the H1N1. So that means the recovered population from the H1N1 could have some partial protection, whereas these people do not have any protection. When you see the model here, so this group is related to H3N2 and no cross protection, whereas here you can see the cross protection and exposed and asymptomatic, infected and recovering. These are the parameters we used. And also from the literature, we collected the incubation periods of novel influenza virus. Suppose normally when you see the seasonal flu, the mean incubation period is only 1.5 days only. Whereas from the swine flu, they identified nearly 7 days incubation period, mean incubation period in some cases. So that we would like to see how the cross reactivity could influence the dynamics of novel strain. So here, when you see this for the first graph, it will tell you on the 60th or 60th day or 65th day, you can see the high peaks of the cases reported on the. But whatever you are using the incubation periods here, you can see the little bit delay here. But whereas here, if you have the cross protection from the seasonal flu, seasonal H1N1, so you can see the shift of the epidemic curve from the majorly 10 to 15 days here. You can see that difference here. And also there is an assumption in the immunological perspective that cross immunity could result in prolonged incubation periods, reduced severity of the disease, and reduced infectiousness, and a longer delay in the illness of the peak. So we got these simulations from that. So study highlights that there is some pre-existing T cell memory. That means here, this partial protection or partial cross memory is not 100% protective. The infected person, those who have the partial protection should go through the infection process, but whereas it is milder one, it's not severe. They have, so we can see the delay in the response and everywhere, like delay symptoms and delay incubation, everything. You can see that. And model results are corroborated with the assumptions of the immunology, and the cellular level cross protection can dampen the transmission dynamics even the absence of the measurable antibody protection. And further, these epitopes can be useful for the epitope-based vaccinations. That's all. Yep.